Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. I hope everyone is enjoying the long weekend. It's like you get a free day,
right?
It's like you get a free day, but unless you do a Wednesday night Bible study, then there's no free day, because Wednesday still comes around at the same time. So I have to get to work on that. But I'm working on another project should I even announce it? Yeah, I'm going to respond to a video posted on YouTube by a very popular atheist named Alex O'Connor. He has a 10-minute video titled "Why I Don't Trust the Bible." And so I've watched the video and crafted a response, and so I want to announce before I do that my goal is to get Alex O'Connor saved. That's my goal. I don't care how many clicks I get. I hope he gets to see the video, and then I hope he responds. That's my hope. So, and if you people enjoy it, that's great. And if it gets a billion or a trillion clicks, that would be cool. Trillion clicks would be all right. But mostly, I want to see Alex O'Connor get saved. And so I've been working on that project, been working on the Bible study, where we're about to get into the... So I think David and Goliath, I think, if it goes that way. And so my interest in secular media for the past week has been a bit thin. So the show might be a little bit weak today. And I know it's bad to announce that right at the beginning, because you might as well just turn it off now. Just turn it off now and get on with your life. So you don't have to sit through all this. But let's start in the bad government file, where the Food and Drug Administration. So right there, the Food and Drug Administration, do they administer drugs? No, they don't. Can you administer food? No, you can't. So what is that? It's a bunch of communists is what it is. And it's a bunch of friends of the deep state who design rules and regulations to keep the competitors of political donors out of business. That's what it is, the Food and Drug Administration. So now, they've been warning for years that some tattoo inks are dangerous. What? You mean injecting ink into my skin could be problematic? Oh, I need a government agency to help me with that. So it turns out they've studied some of these tattoo inks, and that some of them have bacteria in them. Some of them that are labeled sterile, shock of all shocks, it turns out they're not sterile. And when they're injected in your skin, they can cause inflammatory reactions, allergic hypersensitivity, toxic responses, and infections, and eternal damnation forever in hell. Yeah. Well, that last side effect is, it's actually common, but it's not guaranteed. Now, the defacing and disfigurement of your body, that's a guaranteed side effect. It happens to every single person. I was in the hardware store the other day. There's a woman in the paint aisle who reminds me of my grandmother. She turns around and she's got a tattoo up the back of her arm like a Nazi biker. I'm thinking, what's happening? My grandma's got a Nazi biker tattoo. She looks like the friendliest lady. It's really weird. But the FDA recommends, listen to this, the FDA recommends that consumers be vigilant about the quality and safety of tattoo ink. So how are you supposed to be vigilant about the quality of the tattoo ink? How? I thought that's why we hired you at the FDA. You're supposed to be vigilant. Don't you have the labs? I can't send my tattoo ink to the lab and have it analyzed before I have it injected into my body in order to disfigure myself, in order to inflame my fleshly passions and make other people look at me. So, but how? Yeah, I can't. So the fact that a tattoo industry exists in America, in anywhere in the English-speaking world, is a shameful embarrassment. So tattoo, there should maybe there's a tattoo industry like in prison, okay, or on a Navy ship, maybe. Right? But an actual industry in America, it's a shameful embarrassment. But the FDA is actually worse. It's a more shameful embarrassment than the tattoo industry. Right? It's way worse. What do they claim to? Well, not they claim to. They regulate cosmetics and deodorant. Right? They force companies to show them what's in their deodorant and their cosmetics and their toothpaste and their oatmeal. And they force companies to put labels and comply with ludicrous regulations, literally designed to keep the little guy out of industry. That's what they're designed for. So, and they do all that, but they do not regulate tattoo ink. There are no FDA regulations on the ink that wastoid, druggy tattoo artists inject into people's bodies. So I always remind people when they have concerns about it, is this FDA approved? Is this FDA approved? I'm like, the FDA regulates oatmeal, but not tattoo ink. So just take their opinion into consideration, but maybe consider doing your own research before you inject poison into your body to disfigure yourself. So, yeah, you can't not regulate tattoo ink and then expect us to believe that you're here for our protection. I'm sorry. It just doesn't wash. Now, for those of you in the audience, especially young people, I would advise not getting a tattoo. And not because of the bacteria or the poison, but just to avoid defacing and inflaming your flesh. And not in the inflaming in the sense of an infection, but just the inflaming in the sense of inflaming your fleshly passions. And it's just not good for you. It's better not to do that. And I would also advise that all Americans consider not tasking the government with regulating baking soda and nail polish. I think we could probably handle that as free people. You know, there are laws against injuring and harming people through negligence or reckless behavior. That's really all we need. We don't need another bureaucracy to employ a bunch of dim-witted relatives of donors and politicians to make sure that our toothpaste isn't poison or that Preparation H only contains, well, whatever it is that Preparation H contains. I'm not sure about that. Probably look that up on the FDA website and find out. Okay, from there we go to the Real Religion file, where bona fide A-list celebrity and conservative funny man Tim Allen, who is probably close to 70 years old, and he's been a conservative icon that I'm aware of for at least 20 years. At least 20 years, Tim Allen. He had a TV show. I can't say I was a fan. I never found him all that funny. It's kind of just a little too lowbrow for me. But he has been a conservative icon. And let's see here. The Western Journal calls him a bona fide A-list celebrity, which I would agree he is a bona fide A-list celebrity. And now that he's almost 70 years old, he has decided to read the Bible. That's right. He started reading the Bible, and he's been posting about it on X. And everybody's impressed, and I'm glad. Tim, welcome to the party. It's great. Now that you've been a leading conservative thinker for the better part of 20 years, it's probably not a bad idea to crack open the source of conservatism. The only source of conservatism is the Bible. That's where it all comes from. And Tim says, so far, it's amazing and not at all what I expected. Right? Then that describes almost everyone who actually reads the Bible. Because it turns out just about everything you've heard about the Bible is untrue, misunderstood, misrepresented, misapplied, or flat out made up and lied about. Which is, by the way, when I address Mr. Alex O'Connor, who, by the way, I believe he went to seminary. He went to seminary and he has an English accent, so he's a very intimidating young man. But a good deal of what he's heard about the Bible, and probably at seminary, it just isn't true. And so that's what Tim Allen's discovering. It's like when you actually read this book, it's not like anything I expected. Anyway. So anyway, all of Tim Allen's posts about reading the Bible are going viral. And I hope that's good. I hope that other people, that they're like, oh, wow, Tim Allen's reading the Bible. That maybe I should read the Bible. The power of celebrity, right? It is amazing. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the most famous celebrity ever. He's been more famous for longer than any other celebrity on the A-list right now. And he's never going to die. They're all going to get old and look really ugly and then die. And then their bodies are going to decay and rot, and they're going to fester and stink and bloat. And so I know you don't want to think about your favorite celebrity in terms like that. But Jesus, that will never happen to him. In fact, he already died and went into the grave for 3 days. Not a stink, not a bloat, none of it. Came out smelling like a rose. Now that's a celebrity you should look into for all of you who to require celebrity or worship celebrity. So I'll present Christ in any way I can to get your attention in hopes of saving some. All right. Meanwhile, we go to the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ and check in on why artificial intelligence hype isn't living up to expectations. That's right. Forbes, which is a reputable economic publication, says that AI turns out to maybe not be all that it was cracked up to be by all the salesmen on Wall Street who bamboozled everyone into driving NVIDIA stock up to, I don't know, wherever Nancy Pelosi sold and made her millions there. Turns out it may not. By February of 2024, according to a survey of businesses, February of this year, only about 5% of firms were utilizing AI. And its limited adoption suggests that artificial intelligence's overall impact is still confined to a narrow slice of the business world. 80% of companies who have not adopted AI, they say it's simply not applicable to their business. And this reveals a significant gap between the perceived capabilities of AI and its actual utility. It's possible, says the author at Forbes, that artificial intelligence, with all its potential, simply doesn't fit into many business models. That's right. And now you remember, for the past couple of years, one of the big worries has been that AI is going to lead to massive job losses. It's going to have huge impacts on the labor market. Some people predicted AI would create new jobs. Most people predicted that AI would result in the massive loss of jobs, especially for relatively dumb, low-skilled people. However, the report shows that about 95% of all businesses that are using AI have experienced no change in employment levels. They haven't fired anybody. They haven't created any new departments. It's not a bad tool. It fits here and there, and we use it, but it hasn't changed the world. So AI can't even do what relatively dumb, low-skill people can do, at least not yet. And let's see here. About 50% of AI users report making no organizational changes to accommodate AI. AI might be playing a more peripheral role than driving substantial innovation or transformation. And I've always been of the opinion that because the intelligence is artificial and it's not organic from the creator who actually made the real thing, it's just not going to be all that much. Now, I do believe, and it was also a stock bamboozle of epic proportions. I mean, make Elon Musk blush. It was so impressive. But I believe that AI will eventually become more useful to more people. It will do more things. It will replace some relatively mundane tasks. I already use it for some of that in writing. Because, you know, when you're writing ad copy, you have to lower your your intellect to a sixth grade level, or maybe it's fourth grade anymore. And AI's pretty good for that, I've found. But is it going to create a revolution to rival the Industrial Revolution or to rival the Information Revolution, the Technology Revolution? Color me skeptical. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for being here. It's good to have all of you here, especially all my friends. Enemies welcome as well. And now we come to probably the most significant story of the past couple of weeks. And I didn't comment on this story on the arrest of Pavel Durov, the founder of Telegram, an app that I have on my phone, but I'm not sure why. I just remember that someone told me I should get this because it's super secret, private. And I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't know why I necessarily need that. But in case the CIA collapses everything and captures Google and Twitter and a messaging app that I use and Facebook, and which I think that already happened at some point in the not-too-distant past. And so I guess I'm glad I have Telegram, although I have not organized a coup or a color revolution using Telegram. If I ever want to do something like that, I will use Telegram, I suppose. I wasn't aware of what it was until Mr. Pavel Durov was arrested. And so I want to address it because I have a story from the New York Times. Because when you want to know what the enemy is up to, look to his propaganda organ, and you will be able to gain some clues. Now, you have to be aware of disinformation, because the adversary puts out disinformation, because one of the best elements of deception is the truth, some of it. And so we're going to see what the New York Times has to say about the arrest of Pavel Durov, and try to figure out who are the bad guys, who are the good guys, who's the adversary. And so the New York Times says that governments around the world have intensified pressure on companies to address disinformation, online extremism, child safety, and the spread of illicit material. That's how they open the story on the arrest of the founder of Telegram. Now remember, Telegram is a messaging app, not only a messaging app. It's a social media platform because you can create these massive groups of tens of thousands of people. And it is encrypted. Supposedly, it's encrypted to where governments can't see what's going on. And the New York Times says governments are worried, especially in areas like child safety. Right? When modern governments... When modern government officials, I guess, deep state officials, mention children, it's a tell. That means they're lying about something because they mention the children. It's like putting the children, it's like what the Muslim terrorists that put the children all around their rocket launching sites, right? The government perverts and deviants always put the children all around them as their, like a human shield. And then the spread of illicit material. What does that even mean? You're a bunch of pornographers in the government. You've legalized pornography, so I don't know what you mean by illicit material. I think that means stuff you don't like. And that makes me a little nervous. And then also disinformation, online extremism. The New York Times reports this as if the government has a legitimate concern with limiting disinformation and online extremism when we don't even know what that means. So, color me skeptical again. Now, Pavel Durov. So we know that the deep state in the Western democracies is filled with sex perverts, and that basically all of those governments have been seized by a criminally insane sex cult that is hell-bent on destroying the world. killing people and killing themselves. Okay, that's an obvious fact. If you think that's hyperbole, you're behind the curve. Now, Pavel Durov, let's look at him. So that's what's happened with the governments. Pavel Durov, what about him? He's a Russian. Okay, I'm automatically suspicious just because he's a Russian. He founded a version of Facebook in Russia, but it seems like the government took it away from him because he probably didn't pay the gangsters. Russia being run by a criminal gang, but not a criminally insane sex cult. Russia's just an old-fashioned criminal gang. They want to steal your money. They might want to enslave your children, but they don't want to rape your children. So Pavel Durov had issues with the Russian government. So after he lost his Vkontakte, the Russian version of Facebook, he lost control of that. He left Russia, but the year before he left, in 2014, when the Color Revolution started in Ukraine, you remember that's when the CIA started to basically try to start a war with Russia, or I don't know. I'm not sure what was. They're probably just stealing money and hiding things and kidnapping children, but for whatever reason, the Color Revolution started. Pavel Durov leaves Russia, but he founded Telegram a year before, and then he basically set it up saying this is an uncensored and secretive way to communicate. And the New York Times says it's a secretive way to communicate, uncensored and secretive. Now, I'm sure when Pavel was selling it, he didn't say uncensored and secretive. He said free speech and secure. But the New York Times calls it secretive. And they may have a point. We have to read on. Now, Pavel Durov's company, Telegram, is now based in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates, where I believe Lucifer has offices, if I'm not mistaken. The Antichrist has an office in the Burj Khalifa there in Dubai, I think. I mean, that's what I've heard. And so Durov has citizenship in France and in the United Arab Emirates. So that's 2-3 strikes against this guy that he's a creep. So also, he claims he has 100 biological children, right? Because he founded like a fertility clinic and donates. And so he claims to have 100 biological children. He occasionally posts photos of himself shirtless. That's strike 5 right there, right? You post if you post photos of yourself shirtless online, anyway, it's
that Russian thing.
Yeah, it's something about those Russian guys. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I don't like it. All right, now, so it seems like the governments of the Western democracies that have been seized by the criminally insane sex cult, they're not the good guys, and then Pavel Durov, he doesn't seem like such a good guy either. But he's become a darling of the so-called conservative. I don't know what to call him anymore. So there is no conservatism is dead. I don't know what it is now that's left. Like the non-homosexual? I don't know what you call them. It's like if you're not a homo and you get married to someone of the opposite sex and have children, you're now a conservative, even though you're allowed to get tattoos and have an abortion as long as it's in the first 3 months. I guess that's where we are. So it doesn't seem like there's any good guys in this story or maybe anywhere anymore outside of a small circle of people that I hang out with. All right, so Telegram. They say, this is the New York Times. Telegram's popularity is partly rooted in the hosting of large groups of up to 200,000 people. Other social media has taken steps to cut back on group sizes in efforts to combat disinformation. Mm-hmm. So, just a note to the New York Times. Conservatives, no. I should just say Christians. Christians are the last bastion of sanity left on the planet. You people should get on your knees and thank God for us that we're around. So Christians know that you best combat disinformation with the truth. That's how disinformation is combated, with the truth. But the truth is in short supply, especially among the deep state and especially over there at the New York Times. And in social media corporations like Facebook and and Elon Musk's fallen cross. I want to call it fallen cross. What is an X? An X is a cross that fell over to the left. And that's what Elon Musk, somehow he's obsessed with that. I don't trust that guy. All right, now, the back to the disinformation and all this, and Telegram has become a powerful tool for social organizations and coordination. So in my assessment, Telegram is a lot like having a printing press and a megaphone back in 1680. Or electronic communication, when that first became possible and you could broadcast your voice. That's basically what Telegram is. The New York Times says, though, it has minimum moderation, and that's made it a haven for people who were banned from other social media. And in March, Mr. Durov told the Financial Times that Telegram was nearing profitability. This guy's worth like $10 billion. And he's running a company that's nearing profitability. That's kind of strange. I'd be interested to know where he got all his money. Just not that I don't spite anyone to have $14 billion. But anyway, he's considering an initial public offering on Telegram. He has more than, let's see. He portrays himself as a crusader for free speech. But many security experts have said Telegram is actually not as encrypted as he says it is. Disinformation analysts also say the app has become a major vector for the spread of terrorist propaganda and far-right extremism. Okay, so what I found out about the New York Times propaganda piece here is that they didn't mention the criminal activity. You see, there are credible accusations against Mr. Durov and the people at Telegram that they are aware of criminal activity that has been organized and executed on their platform. Governments have issued subpoenas and demanded keys to Telegram so that they could investigate crimes. And I find it unusual that the New York Times didn't mention that, although I didn't copy the whole article down. So it's possible they mentioned that. But they mentioned far-right extremism, propaganda, and disinformation over and over and over and over again. But the other accusations are the criminal activity. And so here's, we always have to look at things from a biblical perspective. And the government is God's minister. And the government has the right to demand evidence if there's a criminal case. They have the right to demand it by force. Take it. And if a company does not comply with a request from the government for information regarding a criminal investigation, there should be charges brought against whoever in that company doesn't comply. But you ask, Doug, what if the government has been seized by a criminally insane sex cult and we can no longer trust the government? So that's just a bad place to be. Because unfortunately, the government has that authority. Now, if they decide to abuse that authority, they have to answer to God. And this is a foreign concept in a post-Christian, post-conservative Western world. Without the Christianity and without the fear of God, the citizens feel like they have no recourse against a government that's abusing them. And the government feels like it has no restraint. And so that's just a really bad place to be. But we cannot advocate overthrowing the government's authority to investigate crimes just because we no longer understand that God's going to be the one to punish the government if they do wrong. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking halfway through, not turning us off at the beginning there, as I had suggested. That would have been quite rude. Now, from Pavel Durov and alleged free speech. We go from there to now. If you folks at the New York Times, if you want to know what disinformation looks like, look at this story. This is from Real Clear Defense. It's a report on the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh, which we've covered here for the past 3 weeks. Because there's a new story that comes out every week as to how exactly did Israel kill this guy. And I've been saying I don't know because I, who knows, I wasn't there. But I have been saying that it's obvious that intelligence assets have been planting stories in the media, some of which have to be disinformation by definition. That's right. Real disinformation. Disinformation is designed to mislead your enemy. So the Real Clear Defense says the media narrative around the method of the July 31st, 2024 assassination of Ismail Haniyeh depends largely on how interest groups are trying to frame their adversaries, frame the story to their adversaries. Israel wants to demonstrate full spectrum capability. Tehran, on the other hand, wants to bolster domestic policing against internal enemies. So they put the story out that there was a bomb planted. So there's obviously rats and traitors that need so that they can clamp down harder on their own people. Well, Real Clear Defense says of the three principal accounts, including the pre-planted explosive device and the locally launched missile, and an Israeli stealth aircraft delivering a precision light munition. The latter stealth aircraft with a rocket appears to be the most consistent with the evidence. And so you read that and you think, okay, well, this website is advocating Israel's narrative because they're part of the whole intelligence. I mean, you just don't know anymore because there's a war going on. And I may have already said this, but what did they say? The first casualty of war is the truth. So anyway, so this website is either independent and just telling us what's the most obvious possibility, or they're planting Israeli intelligence in order to... Anyway, this is what disinformation looks like. You just don't know. You know, and you won't. You might not know for decades until the history books are written what was true and what was not when there's war in the air. And there is right now. But so now you know what real disinformation looks like. And it's not it's not what the New York Times calls disinformation. Pointing out relatively obvious evidence of leftist conspiracies and election theft is not disinformation. That's not. Disagreeing with the New York Times and the Democrat National Committee, that's not disinformation. Alleging that there are only two sexes, that's not disinformation. Now, let's get to the 50 things everyone should be stockpiling for the coming collapse. This is from the Economic Collapse blog. That's right. There's a blog called Economic Collapse Blog. And I think it's been around for about 20 years, where Michael Snyder has been warning us that the economy is going to collapse into something approaching Mad Max, Berlin, 1930, something like that. He's been warning us about that for 20 years. And he asks this week, are you prepared? Millions of Americans are stockpiling in anticipation of what they believe is coming. And I'm like, really, Mike? Are you sure it's not... Because of what you believe is coming and what you've been telling all of us for, I'm not sure exactly how long, but he says people are on edge, rapidly escalating war in the Middle East, natural disasters, global pandemics. And then, of course, there's the title of my blog, the Economic Collapse Blog, which is designed to put people on edge. Mike didn't actually write that. That's my comment on his blog site. But I must confess, I click it just to find out. You don't want to be the one time these guys get it right, you don't want to miss it, you know? So Mike says, in all my years, I've never seen more concern about the next 12 months. So you stop right there and just think about that. So Mike, in all your years, you would have never been able to gauge the concern about September 2024 through September 2025 because it's never happened before, so it's never come up. The future is not some metaphysical place that exists already. So you can't go there and gauge concern over it. So, of course, you've never seen more concern about the next 12 months before. Before, people were telling you how scared you had them about the panic happening at that time, which is in the past now. But none of the Mad Max Civil War apocalyptic predictions you've made for all that time have come true. But because the average moron, like me, has an insatiable appetite for big disaster news, I confess I do. People who make a living stroking our fears, well, and others who make a living stroking that type of fear, they aggregate you all over the internet, and here you are being featured on the Weekly Worldview, but with a grain of salt, I hope. Mike goes on, I've shared a list of 50 basic things that everyone should be stockpiling in a couple of my books, which, of course, he links to so you can buy the books. And today I'd like to share this list with you for free. And then here's a link to my books. First, suggestion for the economic collapse. Stockpile a conventional generator and a solar generator. Uh-huh. That's his first thing is actually two things. So get a conventional generator so you'll have one that works if you can get gas. And then get a solar generator so that you'll have one that doesn't work. But hopefully you bought the one that doesn't work from Mike's solar generator sponsor, who will not be available during the actual economic collapse. But there will be sun, so you'll want this generator. There will be sun at least until Matthew 24 when the sun goes dark and the moon turns to blood, at which point neither Mike nor his sponsor can be held accountable for the failure of any solar generators at that point. Next, Mike says, stockpile a Berkey water filter because it's the only one guaranteed not to fail even after the sun is darkened and the moon is turned into blood, providing you can show proof of purchase and a serial number in any case of any failure. Berkey is a sponsor of the economic collapse blog, not the actual economic collapse. They're selling water filters to hysterical suburban children who've never even been uncomfortable, let alone lacked water. They're not a part of the economic collapse at all. The economic collapse is obviously the responsibility of the Democrats and their presidential candidate, Jimmy Carter. I mean, Walter Mondale. No, I mean, Michael Dukakis. No, Bill Clinton. No, Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton. No, Joe Biden's responsible. I mean, Kamala Harris. That's who's responsible. He also says to stock a stockpile a rainwater collection system if you do not have a natural supply of water near your home. So I'm not sure what that even means.
Illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's illegal in most states. He says get a large emergency medical kit. Large. So, okay, rice, pasta, canned soup, canned vegetables, canned fruit, canned chicken, jars of peanut butter, salt, sugar, powdered milk, bags of flour, yeast, lots of extra coffee if you drink it. If you don't drink coffee, don't stockpile. Well, you wouldn't have even any extra coffee. You wouldn't have any coffee at all. So that's one thing less to worry about if you don't. We should probably stop drinking coffee just so we don't have to. Well, if you want to be comfortable, don't you, during the economic collapse? Man. Buckets of long-term storable food. Didn't you just do a whole list of long-term storable food? Oh, he has a link to buy some storable food. That's it. Lots of extra vitamins. lighters or matches, unless you don't smoke. Well, if you do smoke, you need extra lighters and matches because you're going to have to use the lighters and matches to keep warm, too, and for light. Candles, so you don't have to use up all your matches. Flashlights or lanterns, in case your candles stop functioning. I don't know. Plenty of wood to burn. Blankets, sleeping bags, ammunition. guns, too. I'll add guns. So you have all that ammunition sitting around. If you don't have a gun, that'd be embarrassing. Extra fans if you live in a hot climate or if you just want more people to clap for you. Extra fans. Hand sanitizer if you're still a COVID hysteric. And masks, toilet paper. No, he didn't say masks. I made that up. Toilet paper, hand soap and shampoo, extra toothpaste, razors, toothpaste, razors and shampoo. What are you going for a photo? He's taking photos. You want to be all clean cut for the economic collapse. Bottles of bleach, a battery powered radio to listen to. I'm not sure who you're going to listen to. Extra batteries for your battery powered radio, solar chargers. But wait, Mike, the sun will be darkened and the moon turn to blood. Solar trash bags. Wait a second. Who cares about trash in the apocalypse? It's all going to burn up, isn't it? Tarps, a pocket knife. A pocket knife. I'd say a Bowie knife. I mean, I don't know about a... I'd say, but if you're going to stockpile something, why a pocket knife? A hammer, an axe, a shovel, work gloves, because you don't want to get blisters. Trying to dig your way out of the apocalypse. Digging yourself out from under all the buildings that collapse and everything. Lots of warm socks. Seeds for a garden. Canning jars. Extra supplies for your pets. No, we already ate the pets. It's the apocalypse, man. A substantial emergency supply of cash. Which, by the way, is a worthless fiat currency. Buy gold at this link so you can be prepared. Finally, number 50, he lists Bibles. Mike, if you would have listed, if people would have been stockpiling those first, we never might have gotten into this catastrophic situation. She should have. And then finally, he says a bug out bag for every member of your family. And so this is evidence that the author is obviously mentally unstable, or he's also selling bug out bags, which I don't even know what that means. So, okay. So we're going to suggest start with a Bible, and then maybe don't go to the economic collapse blog. I probably shouldn't have gone there because, well... At the very least, it did at least contribute some material to the program. So I guess we can say that. Now, so before the collapse of the world, though, I want to get to reason number 1,232 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A Colorado school district will force students to attend lessons, even if their parents disapprove. These are lessons on being queer and being a sex pervert. The teachers are going to teach the kids to molest and abuse one another. And the WorldNet Daily says parents are going to be forced. Children are going to be forced to attend these lessons even if their parents disapprove. Now, first of all, WorldNet Daily, that's a lie. Parents, you can't force parents to send their kids anywhere. The parents could opt out of the whole school system. So just don't be acting like the parents have, like this is at gunpoint. So this is the Denver School District, shockingly enough. They're going to have pervy topics being taught. WorldNet Daily says they're going to teach this at every grade level. At every grade level, as if there's a grade level where it would be okay. Hey, WorldNet Daily, the devil will take that. That's a win for the devil, the fact that you just implied that there's a grade level where it would be okay to teach kids to molest and abuse one another. The WorldNet Daily goes on, the Denver School District does not require parental consent when using students' pronouns. Hey, the devil will take that. You just implied that if parents consented, it'd be okay to use unreal, bizarro, pervy pronouns. The devil takes that. Finally, the toolkit at the Denver Public Schools will provide an entire section on how to help students transition, even if their parents are unaware. Hey, Satan hits a three-pointer from the top of the key. Even if DPS is forced to drop all their faggotry classes, WorldNet Daily just implied that if parents are involved and parents are aware and it's the right grade level, then all this perversion is actually okay. I'm It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, and you already know my name. So we'll go on to, let's see, we're just at Denver Public Schools. Over in Aurora, there's video of Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes. That's right. Now, there's video of it happening. Basically, gang members with rifles going door-to-door collecting rent from people in an apartment in Aurora, Colorado. The mayor of Aurora is a guy named Mike Kaufman, who vaguely rings a bell. He used to be a conservative. Now he's just a robot. I watched the interview with the guy. It was creepy. It's like he sold his soul or became... it's like they replaced his body with an exact replica, except without a soul. It was weird. He says Venezuelan gangsters have indeed taken over several apartment buildings and have pushed out property managers to extort rents from the tenants directly at gunpoint at their door. Now, the interim police chief in Aurora, Heather, she says gang members have not taken over. Now, I'm not saying there's not gang members that don't live in this community. What? I'm not saying that there's not gang members that don't live in this community. She's also not saying she speaks English. but she says, what we're learning out here is that gang members have not taken over this complex. Despite the video of them going door to door with automatic weapons. She says it would be improper at this time for the city or the Aurora Police Department to make any conclusory statements about the specific incidents or provide details about law enforcement strategy and operation. That's her way of saying, I have no idea what's going on, and I don't feel like I'm qualified to tell you anything, and I just hope I don't have to resign over this. Pretty much that's Heather. She's the interim police chief because the other police chief, who knows? It's Aurora. He was probably killed and eaten. So a statement was released by the city. We urge all community members, including members of our migrant communities, to please report crimes committed against them to their local law enforcement agencies and not remain silent victims so that, I don't know, the police chief can come out and say she doesn't know what's going on with you either. She doesn't feel like she shouldn't make any conclusory statements about the fact that someone stuck a gun in your face and demanded rent money. I love that. The migrant communities. As if to acknowledge, perhaps, that the millions of illegal aliens who've been allowed to invade via the southern border have become a problem. That's Fox News. Though Fox News is all over that problem. We know that all those illegals are bad over here, Fox News. All right. Meanwhile, speaking of all that and the forget the economic collapse blog, the actual collapse of civilization is happening. It's just slow motion, very embarrassing and very painful. It's not like the guy who wants you to stockpile the pocket knife and the solar water filter or whatever. It's not going to be like that. It's just going to be really long and slow and embarrassing. And painful at times, like with this. From KRON in Oakland, California. Have you heard of the jaws of life? It's an oxymoronic phrase when you first hear it, the jaws of life, right? But the jaws of life are a hydraulic tool used to cut through the steel and rip open the skin of a car after a crash and extract the victim from the vehicle. Countless thousands of people's lives have been saved by the jaws of life. They rescue people from sure death. It's amazing, an amazing technology. God bless whoever made the jaws of life. Well, now the Oakland Police Department is working closely with the Oakland Fire Department to try to recover a stolen Jaws of Life tool. That's right. The Oakland Fire Department used the Jaws of Life during an incident. After the incident, the firemen noticed that the equipment had been stolen. So barbarians in Oakland actually stole the jaws of life after they were used to extract someone and save their life. The Oakland Police Department says anyone with information is asked to call the police. And anyone with the jaws of life is asked to give them back. Well, before someone dies for lack of having access to the jaws of life. Which, by the way, is a real possibility. You know how often there's a car accident in Oakland? It's pretty much perpetual. There's a nonstop accident in every city in California all the time. And so not having the jaws of life, well, here's the thing. So the police here in the fire, they should put out a notification that if you have these jaws of life, you better return them before someone dies because we didn't have them. Because if that happens, your punishment will be execution. And when we execute you, we're going to execute you using the jaws of life. We're going to tear you apart with them. So you know what? When there's a barbaric act, this is barbarism. When there's a barbaric act like this, the government should respond with something more terrifying than the barbarity of this act so that this kind of stuff never happens again. But is that what they'll do in Oakland? No. They'll just smoke another joint and at the next car accident, I don't know, maybe they'll just light candles and weep. Meanwhile, oh, here we go. Florencio and Margarita Galindo were driving down the 210 freeway in Los Angeles suburb when a man who'd been threatening to jump from the Roxford overpass leaped off the bridge and went through their windshield. Now, Florencio, the husband, was driving. He was not seriously injured, but his wife Margarita was critically wounded by the suicidal maniac coming through the windshield as she was in the passenger seat. After fighting for her life in the ACU for several weeks, Margarita has succumbed to her injuries. Just this last Wednesday, she died. Her grieving son was interviewed on ABC television. And he said, quote, "What if she had stopped to get gas? What if she had stopped to get water? This probably wouldn't have happened," unquote. Can you imagine the pain of... It's inconceivable to me how bad this must just shock and just wreck a family emotionally. The daughter, she was interviewed. She said, quote, "It could have been just 2 seconds off, 2 inches away. My mom would have been fine," unquote. Florencio, the husband and father, he's heartbroken over the loss of his wife, but tells the newspaper that he also has empathy for the man who inadvertently killed her while taking his own life. I'm going to guess he didn't say it that way, but that's the way it's being reported by. He says he doesn't have any resentment against the suicidal maniac who killed his wife.
Wow.
Yeah. And so a couple of things. Self-murderers, people who kill themselves, have become an almost revered class. And believe me, I've noticed this and it makes me sick. We're only allowed to weep and say how wonderful they were and how troubled they were and to feel so sorry for all their problems. And we're never to criticize a self-murderer. Never. So, but I'm going to tell you this was a hateful, selfish act directed not only at the friends and family of this self-murderer. Right? This wasn't just directed at the people he hated, but also at innocent people driving on down the freeway. So this piece of garbage's name should be blotted out of the book of life forever. So that's my first observation. They're not a revered class to be wept over. They're vile criminals. And then second, For all of you selling the God Save Donald Trump merchandise on the internet, can you just listen to the voice of the daughter here? If it could have been just 2 seconds off, 2 inches away, my mom would have been fine. So do you understand that by implying that God saved Donald Trump, that you're implying that God killed Margarita Galindo, this girl's mom? Do you understand that? So could you just stop it, please? And we'll leave it at that. Meanwhile, from the Make America Great Again file, and by the way, I didn't clarify this last week. Great here is spelled G-R-A-T-E. Make America Great Again. From the Make America Great Again file, Donald Trump has now announced that he will implement a policy mandating your insurance company to pay for all costs associated with IVF treatment. That's right. I think that includes either the disposal and incineration of the children they intentionally kill, or the experimentation on the kids that they don't use, that they sell to be experimented on. So Donald Trump wants your insurance to cover all of those costs. Although the experimentation on the fetuses, that's already being funded by the HHS and all of that, health and human services, social science infrastructure that the FDA is part of, making sure that your toothpaste tastes minty. Donald Trump says, we're also going to allow new parents to deduct major newborn expenses from their taxes because we're pro-family. And Vice President J.D. Vance, vice presidential candidate and future Fox News host, because he's obviously robotic from the waist up, which qualifies him to be on Fox News. He said last week that while he doesn't necessarily support Donald Trump voting against the 6-week abortion ban down in Florida, he does want to reiterate that we are the most pro-life ticket since George Washington and John Adams. And by the end of the week, folks, Trump had pledged that he would veto any federal ban on black slavery that, on killing children with abortion that crossed his desk. He says he will veto it. That's a vow. That's a pledge. So Donald Trump doesn't make a lot of vows or a lot of pledges, but when it comes to not making the ownership of black men a crime, he has, the killing of innocent children by abortion. He has vowed that he will not sign a federal ban on that. And then on Saturday, Donald Trump was on TV saying that legalized dope should be safe, legal, and rare. Where have I heard that one before? So now, that's right. He wants to support the marijuana industry, but he wants it to be regulated so that he doesn't have to smell it everywhere, like in those Democrat cities. So the leading conservative candidate who's going to save America wants to bolster the legalized dope industry. As I said, conservatism is dead. And I think what was left of it killed America. What was left of conservatism killed America. That's what will be found in the autopsy 100 years from now when the historians sort through all the disinformation and give us some idea of what actually occurred here. All right, what else do we have? The Biden-Harris regime is scaring children with climate change via the NOAA Foundation and NASA's Climate Kids webpage. Yeah, they're preaching to the kids that they warn the children that the world is undergoing cataclysmic warming and their future may well be doomed. They're saying this to kindergartners. They should be arrested for child abuse. Anyone who says that to kindergartners. And by the way, over there at the Free Beacon, they say this is the Biden-Harris administration. This site and all this garbage, it was set up in 2012 under Obama administration and remained live during the Trump administration. This is a deep state problem that goes far beyond Democrat, Republican. Donald Trump's not going to stop any of this stuff. Well, this he might. And then he'll hand the kids a joint and tell him to go somewhere else so he doesn't have to smell it because he's so conservative. He's going to make America great again. All right, finally, from the death after Roe file, Natural News reports that telehealth abortions are now responsible for reversing a decline in infanticide numbers following the 2022 overturn of Roe v. Wade. What is a telehealth abortion, you might ask? That's an abortion where the woman does a Zoom call with a doctor, maybe, maybe not, at least they document one, and then she is mailed chemical abortion pills, chemical poison to poison and kill her child after doing a Zoom call or a phone call or something like that. So if that's really what it is, can we then maybe stop calling it telehealth? I mean, do we have to use the left's vernacular over here at National News? Please, Natural News? It's not telehealth. It should be telepoison. So anyway, chemically induced infanticide increased from 30% of all abortions to nearly 60% during 2016 through 2021. And it continues to rise after the overturn of Roe. And so here's the thing, folks. It doesn't matter that Roe versus Wade was overturned. The idea that abortion was now to be regulated means that abortion will be practiced freely and surgical abortion will virtually be eliminated, because that's a messy, dirty, expensive way. Now we can just poison them with pills and you hardly even know it. It's the idea. You see, it's the heart. It's the idea. It doesn't matter that Roe got overturned and there were only 6 documented surgical abortions in this state or that state. That doesn't matter. It's the hearts of the people that the law must offer guidance to. The law should reflect God's law so that the heathens at least know there's a God. In exchange for a victory at the Supreme Court, the pro-life industry sacrificed its soul. So listen to this. The pro-life industry, I don't know who this is. Michael New, and he says pro-lifers need to prioritize preventing chemical abortion. He suggested 3 strategies. Number 1, litigation against the FDA. Okay. Number 2, litigation to invalidate shield laws. That's number 3, electing a pro-life president. So now he doesn't say Donald Trump, but you know what I mean. Anyway, it sounds like the pro-life industry is gearing up for another 50-year strategy. They're going to fund, now that they funded their retirement on their pro-life, now they're going to fund their kids' retirement with a whole new pro-life industry. So here, I got 3 strategies. Number 1, preach the gospel. Number 2, have kids and raise them in the fear of the Lord. Number 3, call all murder, murder, so that the people know in their hearts that there's a God. That's the Weekly Worldview. Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.